This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, episode 267. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. And of course, visit our website, infectionpodcast.com. And if you're interested in some IT shenanigans, dudeinit.com. I got a new article coming out soon, TM. Now, joining me, Brian, we got a problem.
Okay.
What does the top of this document say that I'm looking at with the show notes?
Oh, my goodness.
I tell you what, there's nothing worse than reading through the intro of the show and seeing the wrong date and having to panically look down at the date inside of Windows and go, oh my God, oh my God.
What day is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm looking at the show notes right this moment and it looks correct to me.
I know Google does hold revisions. If I press Control Z a couple times, it will go back.
I mean, the last few minutes, time zones, all that stuff.
How are you doing, Mr. Aldridge?
I am doing well. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter, first of all, at Boise Computer. If you want to check out my blog, biteoftech.com, you can go there. Also, if you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, you'll notice there we have joined our server on Discord. We're going to be talking about, for instance, a game that's going to be releasing this week that perhaps you'll want to come play with us on our private server. Also, news, if you want to submit that throughout the week, we have a news channel. And if there's a link or a video or an article notes that you want us to look at before the show, we always review those while making the show notes. So it's a good way to be involved with the show. And people throughout the week are just chatting and hanging out and playing random games, Tarkov, and just whatever happens to come up, you can join in there and jump on one of the channels and play with your friends. Also, we have a Steam group if you want to get a notification before the live show. And that's just couple minutes before we go live, pops up, easy to use. We got our links for Mixer, Twitch, YouTube on there, and then on the lower right, all our audio forms. So if you're looking for whatever device you happen to be using, a way to listen to us, it'll be available there. We have show notes now for 267 episodes of the show. So a lot of things that we'll be discussing today. If you're interested in reading an article or watching a video, maybe you're listening, you can go on there and we'll have a link to that. So I think that's about it.
I will say, did we talk about this on the show? I did update the Steam page.
Yes. You said you were going to, and I did notice that you did.
I put Twitch, I put the Mixer, I put the YouTube, I put the iTunes and the Discord and the Boop and the Twitter. That's my Bill Cosby. That's not a problem. Join our Discord. That's kind of like the best way to it's kind of funny. I would say, Brian, that, okay, here's a hot take. It's not even a hot take. It's just a take. Mm-hmm. If Discord never came along, I don't think we'd still be doing the show. I don't think we would.
Personally, I would be running a TeamSpeak server, but I think it wouldn't be as effective.
TeamSpeak wasn't active because people only were in there to talk. Via
well,
voice.
We were able to get people to play in there, you know, because we were playing H1Z1 a lot. But I think that it would have been, I think Discord has done a wonderful job of really making gaming communities easy, or curated communities in general.
Yeah.
Because if you look at now, look at people's Discords and how many servers they're connected to. If you would have looked at the old TeamSpeak and the way interface worked,
One server.
You wouldn't be joining 15 servers, 20 servers. I mean, that's just, it's not how it worked.
Yeah.
And so they really opened it up to where you can be a part of, you can be in a server, but you know, it doesn't have to be your primary server.
Correct. Which is super cool. I just think that's interesting. We've talked about that a lot. TeamSpeak was great for what it was. Ventrilo was great for what it was. Mumble was great for what it was. They were voice over IP audio communication platforms. Kind of spawned up around World of Warcraft and what's EverQuest. That's kind of when they came to their fame.
Because I mean, Ventrilo was kind of the go to before TeamSpeak. People talk about, I did TeamSpeak because they allowed Linux server hosting and I ran Linux servers. So
you had to pay for it too.
What, for Ventrilo? Yeah.
Well, and TeamSpeak, then you have to pay to host TeamSpeak.
No, you could, you could get a non-profit license. Oh, okay. But the reason that I didn't want to run Ventrilo is because I would have to put on a Windows server and then I would have to pay for another server.
Yeah.
And so I could just throw it on my servers that I had running out on the internet and run a TeamSpeak server. You know, everybody back then was always complaining, oh, why don't you get Ventrilo? Because I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to pay to run a server for Ventrilo. So this came along. Don't need to run anything. You get all the benefits. I mean, works very well.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. Now, obviously, there are some disadvantages. The fact that you don't own the platform means that tomorrow Discord could say, hey, we want to ban Infection Podcast, and our community would evaporate from Discord, which would suck. But I think the advantages of the platform, for most people, is pretty outstanding. I mean, I can honestly say we would not be doing this show without Discord. Because once once H1Z1 fell off the face of the earth, our TeamSpeak would have dried up, and we would have stopped doing the show. 100%.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind. So it's we talked about this in our PAX. Who interviewed them at PAX? Was it me or you?
I think it was me. Discord?
Yeah, I think I talked to them this year. I don't remember. Nevertheless.
I don't remember.
This year at Discord, or this year at PAX, we talked, 2019.
Yeah, you did. You interviewed them.
I talked to, I believe his name was Andy at Discord, or Andrew, something like that. And we talked about how it's so interesting to see how a platform that was non-existent has come in and just, they have, I don't even know how to, I can't even put it in words what they've done for online communities. I mean, I think they led to the downfall of forums in a lot of regards. Why the hell post on a forum when you can post in a Discord server and have a real-time chat and not wait nine hours for somebody to respond to you?
And that's the perfect example, too, of what they've been doing recently. I mean, if you look at forward thinking, look at, for instance, the patch notes that we, before the show, threw into a paste bin. Mm-hmm. You know, we have developers that, rather than posting onto a website or a forum, patch notes are now having a channel in their Discord that patch notes go to. And then Discord has opened up the ability for people to subscribe to that channel and then say a channel in their own Discord that they want those to go to. So, for instance, our server has a patch notes or patches server or a channel,
which is private, just for me and you.
No, there's one. And for people that are subs.
Oh, okay, cool.
Subs can see it too. So that's the perk of being a sub, is you can see our patches channel. Yeah.
That's very
cool. And so if you go in there, when they post into their channel on patch notes, it automatically posts. Same thing for Atlas's patch notes and a bunch of others. It automatically will post into our patches channel. And all I had to do is click a button and select what channel on my own server that I wanted it to go to. And it was seamless. So that's one way that they've made it to where if you don't want to have to go into 10 different Discords, you'll be a member of them. But if you don't want to have to go and deal with all those, just you have a channel, and just like you do with your own private little Discord that you have. You know, it's pretty much can dump news or information from other people's channels.
Yeah. Donnie is also pointing out, if you want to get a hold of someone, it's a good way to do it. If you want to, like, you know, sending an email is all right, but you could literally hop in somebody's Discord and at them and get in touch with them if you need to,
because
need to do so.
One thing, I mean, this is kind of showing how Steam in a way has failed in this area.
Oh,
because it's such a pain to go find someone in Steam. I mean, if you say go find, we have a hard enough time sometimes just finding someone who we know who they are on Steam. Yeah. And it's just, they have not made it easy. They have not made it friendly. But I think that here they've gone through and kind of made that universal directory, which Steam should have been, which Steam could have been, a universal directory of people, kind of like what Twitter does or Facebook does for real life people. You have Discord, which is kind of like that directory for your gaming friends.
Yeah, which is neat. I mean, I'm not going to say that only because of Discord, but we've met members of our community at events, mm-hmm. I would say a large part because of Discord.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I don't want to take the whole show up with it. I don't know. I was just thinking about it today. And yeah, that's, yeah, I don't know. That's what I wanted to talk about. Speaking of our Discord, we do a game of the week, most Friday nights, depending on people's schedules and whatnot. As the summer catches on, it might be a little more sporadic. But we are playing a game this week, Brian, that we've talked about a lot on this program, and at least I have talked about it from a place of complete ignorance, just because I've never played it, and that is Wildlands, which is the kind of voxel-based Garry's Mod. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, in a way. It can be, if you can make it that.
So we're going to try that. Now, there's a bunch, correct me if I'm wrong on this, there's a bunch of user-made game modes and maps and missions and things to do, right? So we can just pick somebody's map and then have a private match or something and play? Is that how that works?
Yeah, so we can do that. And they also have a mode where you can kind of make game modes. I mean, that's where it really becomes like Garry's Mod, is someone can learn their sort of scripting language, the visual scripting language, which is similar to, I mean, that's what has really made Unreal stand out for its visual scripting language called Blueprints. It allows people to prototype. I mean, a lot of times developers, when they get into it, they write it with actual code, but the visual scripting language is simplified. It makes it easy to quickly write things, and they've implemented their own version into Wildlands or Islands. And I think that it really makes it possible for people to turn around and make things, even if they don't have an extensive programming ability.
Absolutely. So we're going to be playing that Friday night in our Discord. I'm going to try to get the size of the download here. It is a free-to-play game, so there really is no there's really no barrier to entry. I guess just a little hard drive space. But we're going to be playing Wildlands, and that'll be Friday night in our Discord server. That takes place 6, 7, 8 o'clock, depending on the time that people are there. And it's not that big; it's less than 2 gigs to download. So, hopefully you'll join us. Brian and I will be there. We'll be playing.
Yep. Very good.
Let's see. All right. I don't have the breaking news sound effect. I retired my tablet, and I couldn't find a decent, sufficient one. Brian, breaking news. Now, we've been waiting a very long time for a new ARK DLC by the name of Genesis is what we've been waiting for. And they delayed it once already. It was supposed to come out beginning of the year, maybe? Something like that. They've already delayed it once.
I don't remember the original.
It's too hard to find that. It's too hard to go back and find that stuff because the information's all over the place. So they delayed it once. The release date is scheduled for today, the 25th. They put out a tweet approximately 36 minutes before the game was supposed to be out that due to a snag.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be December 2019, by the way.
Okay, December of 2019. So even better, like 2 months, 3 months, depending on what December means to you. They put out a tweet 36 minutes before launch that they've ran into a snag while publishing. We're expecting an additional couple of hours in previously communicated launch times. So it was supposed to be out at 7 p.m. Eastern, which was, 22 minutes ago if you're watching us live. And now they're saying it's going to be delayed by a couple of hours. And I'll tell you what, Brian. It's not that the game is delayed. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's delayed. It's that they constantly, Studio Wildheart, constantly is unable to hit launch dates, times, years, months. I mean, they are always off. I saw a great tweet from our friend Serial Killer Barb, and she said, honestly, y'all have never had a launch that is released on time. Disappointed, but not surprised. And I think that's a pretty accurate summation of it. That's not what you should... This game, ARK and Studio Wildcard, has done such an incredible job with almost every element of ARK, and they are still known as the development group that cannot for the life of them release something on time. Brian, I'm not, I know that I don't want you to speak out of turn because, you know, I know you've dabbled around with development and whatnot, but how can 36 minutes before the launch you realize, oh shit, we are going to have to delay this bike? That's what's always mesmerized me about delays, is how 30 minutes before the delay, before the launch, which means you have to compile, upload to Steam, and verify. And it's not just Steam. They're on Xbox, yeah. They're on PlayStation, they've got a Microsoft Store version. You're talking about submission processes that are not, you're not talking about uploading a PDF. You're talking about 20, 30, 40, 60 gigabytes plus the whole game packaged. How does this happen?
Well, I mean, for them, I think, first of all, what this really indicates is that it's not stable, first of all. I mean, they consider this alpha, where...
No, they're not alpha. They're beta.
But I'm saying internally, the way that they're releasing this and the way that it sounds like they treat development, they treat it like alpha. Because let's take, for instance, a AAA studio. Because, I mean, they're close to AAA, right? But we know Call of Duty and Ubisoft, you know, with that whole friend, all those are AAA, right?
They're strong AA.
Yes. And if you look at how they would do a release, they would have their gold, their version that they consider release ready, done at least days prior to the release date.
Yeah.
Because they want to make sure it's tested. First of all, most of those places are shipping out CDs, DVDs, you know, whatever.
Well, they do day one patches. So call, they've got the base game.
But they'll have their, what they call gold. Yep. And then they will start producing another patch that will then come out if it's ready. Right, they have the one that they're considering as stable as possible. Mm-hmm. That if everything just crumbles in front of them, that's the one they're releasing. Right,
yeah.
And then they'll start working on their first patch. Now, if they can have a patch that comes out, if they can complete that patch prior to day one, they'll release it.
Which is very common.
So when you go to the store, you get a disc, you come back, you put it in. Okay, starts downloading that patch. Here with Wildcard, I don't sense that they do anything like that. I think that they're working on the live build right up until release. Clearly. But the problem is when you're doing that, you're playing and toying with things, and as you can see, something comes up. Oh, this isn't quite ready. Oh, this broke the build. This did all these things, and now they can never release on time. Where they should have had, here's the release build days beforehand. We are going to release no matter what, if on this or on the new patch that we release that's a little more stable, and then we'll actually release on time. And they've never done that. They've always been tweaking and changing and trying to fix things up to the last second. Just stop it. Create your gold build and then push out a patch afterwards and say, all right, this is going to launch day one. We'll have a patch out, so be prepared to update when it comes out. But we are going to release it this time, you know, and have it be out. And they just, I don't know. That's the struggle, is it's all their internal processes, I think, that are failing. Of they're treating it like a small, that this is the difference between AA and AAA, really. I mean, they're doing it like a small studio.
Yeah. Which in some regards they are, but in others they're not. Nisco's got an interesting theory, and Brian, you have to put on your tinfoil hat for this one, but it makes sense. He says, my theory is that they want to tire out people waiting, and over time, a lot give up, meaning the players give up from trying to play tonight, so the servers don't get hammered. That's an interesting way to do it, but unfortunately, here's the problem, though. People already bought this, so I don't think people are going to be like, it's not releasing on time.
I paid for it.
That's what I'm saying. So that, I mean...
So here's my...
Feasible. It's feasible. It's probably not likely.
Look at what we've run into this. We've run into this with them how many times?
I mean, every time they do a major update.
But the problem is, as he was saying with the servers,
yeah,
everybody's logging and all of a sudden creating and filling up these servers, and then they'll stop playing after how long, right?
Yep.
And then there'll be this server with all these empty bases and empty everything and people laying around, and it's just a mess for the first couple weeks, usually, on servers. And so I think this is going to be something that they haven't really figured out how to deal this. We've done some speculation of, okay, why don't they have temporary servers and let people, and then say there's going to be a wipe, you know, a week or two after the release, do something, but they don't do wipes. So this mess happens every single time. So they, you know, them doing this delay isn't fixing anything. It's just delaying it.
Now they don't, they're not, I want to be careful not to be too harsh on them because they really are a great student. Now they do deserve criticism. But what you've just described is a symptom that every new game deals with. Mm-hmm. Conan Exiles. I mean, but you want to talk about a disaster.
This style of game suffers from this.
Yeah, because you've got people that own the game, like yourself, Brian, that isn't actively playing Ark, that goes and says, all right, I'm going to download it. You know, and by the way, it's not available to even download yet. How big is the download going to be? 60 gigabytes? I mean, do they have that on their Steam page yet? So even if you get the game now, Steam servers are going to be... Steam's going down, right? Doesn't Steam do maintenance between like 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays?
Yeah, so, this was a bad time for them to say they were going to release anyways because Steam drops and they wouldn't have been able to do the download.
So, but you know, so there's going to be a couple of issues here.
Maybe now, that Steam, was what they meant by what was it? What was the wording they used?
No, they had an issue publishing, which
indicates, but that's what I'm saying. What if they couldn't publish because the servers are going to be down in that time?
Yeah, but they've got four other platforms.
Yeah.
Three.
But, I mean, it wouldn't go out on PC.
Correct, but it could go out on Xbox, PlayStation, and they Microsoft could have. Store.
Well, that's just strange then, because publishing generally should be different between, it takes them much longer to publish on consoles than it does on PC. Agreed. So it could be that the consoles are the ones that are the issue because they should be able to roll out a PC patch faster.
Agreed. It should be instant. Now, you know, there's a validation process with Steam, but so once this does come out, people are still going to have to download it. So let's just say they said a couple of hours. Couple's what? 3, 2? So 9, 10 o'clock Eastern is when this is finally going to release. Then you're going to have a 30, 40, maybe 50 gigabyte download. 20, maybe. Nevertheless, you're talking about it, maybe a 30-minute download, depending on Steam servers. An hour if you have a slow internet connection. Now it's 11 Eastern. And now the servers are plastered because every Tom, Dick, and Harry is trying to play Genesis. Now it's midnight. You haven't even jumped on yet. So I kind of agree with Nisco, but at this point, they're releasing it so late in the day anyway that I don't think it matters because I don't think many people are going to be like, oh, screw going to work on Wednesday. I'm just going to play Ark all night. Now, I know obviously the West Coast, but it's still going to be late on the West Coast. I mean, midnight on the West Coast or midnight on the East Coast, still 9 p.m. on the West Coast. You know, you're saying
40 gigabytes of available space, but that's on top of the existing Arc, which is already 100 and whatever gigabytes.
Okay, so maybe it's 30 gigs unpacked, or maybe it's 20. Nevertheless, it's a big download. 20 gigabytes is not necessarily the quickest download. EU is already in bed. Nisco says it's already almost 2 a.m. So, you know, that's a little frustrating. Again, nobody can say that they're surprised, but... I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where you're either keeping the meme alive, which I can't imagine because it's such a bad PR look, or you're just truly incompetent at releasing patches, which is what it's trending towards. And that's not it sounds harsher than it means.
I think they're just too casual. I think they act too much like a small development shop. Of just a guy's, you know, hey, I'm going to push this patch. I'm going to do this. And
they can't. They've got way too many employees. They got hundreds of employees that you can't.
It seems like that's how they're running it, though. I mean, trying to stay all casual.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to tend towards the side of incompetence. I mean, even a company like this learns from their mistakes. And the only reason you make the same mistake over and over again is, first of all, if you're insane, or second, you're incompetent. I mean, Brian, if you're out there wrapping your car around a tree every single week, I'm going to say you're probably incompetent at driving. I think that would be a pretty fair assessment. And with Studio Wild, I mean, the Atlas release was delayed by weeks, like 3 weeks. They delayed it like 4 minutes before the game was supposed to come out.
I don't know. They didn't even give a note. Like here, at least earlier in the day.
It was 6 minutes after it was supposed to come out. It was 5 p.m. Eastern. And they sent a tweet out at like 5:06.
Yeah.
That's incompetence. And that is 100% incompetence. Crazy. I don't care what you say. That's not bro culture, dudes hanging around the office drinking beer. That is straight incompetence. There's no other way around it.
But the thing is, I think that in their setup, they have people that are in charge of particular things. It could be that there's one person who who's incompetent that makes this happen every time. And the way that their company is structured, and there's a bunch of people that are original founders in the company, they may not have an easy way of truly correcting the issue, let's say.
Then they're incompetent. If you have a guy that's burning down the restaurant every week, and you keep employing him, you're the business owner is incompetent. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Somebody is incompetent here. It might be a developer, it might be management, it might be a project lead. I don't know. But somebody...
If people were afraid of getting fired, this would not be happening.
That's a valid concern. Now I get it. Here's the thing.
I think that there's too many people that are originals with the company that are so locked in there that it doesn't really matter what they do. They're not going to get fired.
Now let's put this back in perspective, Brian. So we are very insulated here. We are doing a video game podcast talking about the release of a DLC for a video game. Okay. So with that said, put that where it is. This is not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination, but it me as a consumer, Brian, you're trying to sell me your game. I look at this and I go, eh.
Yeah. Most people won't notice that. I mean, most people aren't like us and are waiting for something to release. Like I've got the settings already for a private server for us to run this. And, you know, all I have to do is when the update comes out, run it and boom, it's up. Most people are going to go to sleep tonight, wake up tomorrow, maybe somewhere they'll notice on their PS4 store page, oh, a new DLC's out. Okay, I'll try it. That's going to be your average person. So I don't think most people really care. I mean, you've got your community of diehards that care, and they're like, you fail this every time. But I think your average person out there has no clue how every single one of these has failed. Because they're not waiting day one.
Okay, so I agree with you. One of my colleagues, Brian, today said, man, you getting Genesis? And he was hyped for Genesis. Yeah. And I'm sure he is livid right now that it's not out. I'll find out tomorrow, and I'll report on next week's program. But you do have people. There's a lot of people that bought this and have been waiting for this. This has been a long... Genesis has been announced since the summer of last year, and they've been hinting at it for over a year.
And plus, I can't believe they don't allow preloads. I mean, just...
Because it's not ready. What are you going to preload? A broken build? Are you going to preload the downloads half the engine?
The downloads on theirs are just always so bad.
Yeah. I want to do this before we continue talking, or if you want to continue talking. I want to just quickly play the Genesis trailer that they released back in, I think it was in August of last year. Let's quickly look at this. But before we do that, though, Genesis is, I think it's accurate to say it's kind of like Ark 2. It's a whole new map, a bunch of whole new dinosaurs. It's a lot larger than... of Valhalla or whatever, like all the other maps. This is much, much, much bigger. This is a very large DLC for the game. So let's take a look at this trailer, and then I'll take a look at Twitter and see if there's any updates, and we'll be back.
Where you're going, survivor, I cannot follow. Others need me, and your path leads beyond my reach. But I can grant you a fragment of myself as a guide to find what is most important to your ultimate survival. Is it strength? Is it willpower? Is it empathy? The arrival is soon. The test has been rigorous. They will be difficult. They will be deadly.
Apparently they're starting now.
Boy, I really like that. I really like that whole fly around thing. I really like that animation. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Don't take this as gospel, but I'm reading people's replies on Twitter, so it's got to be accurate. This one guy without an icon. He would previously have been an egg on Twitter. Now it's like a silhouette of a person. He says, originally it was supposed to be October, which sounds right. Then they pushed it to December, then January, now February 25th. And now they've delayed it. Again, now it's going to come out. So
yeah,
they're going to release it. But come on.
I think one thing will be interesting, kind of on a side note with this. It seems like it's more guided than before. This has always been one of my complaints about ARK that I brought up, is the lack of any kind of a quest or guidance or anything really aiming you in any direction or giving you any details about the world around you. So that's one thing I'm kind of curious of, is this going to be, you know, with that whole thing of that person who was saying, hey, you know, I can't go with you, but you know, they're going to be there kind of guiding you through. Is this going to be, as you said, ARK 2.0, where they actually put in a little bit of lore that's not stupid? I mean, if you look at the whole system where you go and find those, I don't even remember what they're called right now, but you go and find those pieces of paper with scribblings on them that don't really have words. It's got some fake language and everything else. That just doesn't tell me the story of ARK. And I'm wondering if we're going to get a little bit more information, if this is actually going to be real. And if people really like it, will they go back and start adding some things to the original ones to make it more like this style, if this is truly good enough?
That's the question. I hope that we'll have an update here by the end of the program. If not, we'll bring it to you next week. So that is ARK. That's ARK. Now, speaking of games that don't release on time, let's talk about Cyberpunk real quick. They came out with a interesting tweet about the next generation consoles. Now, this one is specific towards Xbox, but I would assume they're working on something similar with Sony. They tweeted out, gamers should never, this is the Cyberpunk Twitter account, gamers should never be forced to purchase the same game twice or pay for upgrades. Owners of Cyberpunk 2077 for Xbox One will receive the Xbox Series X upgrade for free when available. Now, I don't know if this is just for digital versions. I would assume that's what it is.
I mean, if you buy it on the PS4 store, that should indicate that you own it.
Well, this is for Microsoft, though.
But I know this. But I'm saying, as far as they're doing this, they're saying this for Microsoft. But I think carrying this over to PlayStation, I would think that they treat that as a license to the game.
Correct.
Going forward, since they're kind of I think they're going more towards you owning titles, less of I bought this for this console.
Yeah. So, I would assume if you even buy the disc of the game for 2077 on the Xbox One, that you'll get a digital version on the Series X. Now, this is obviously a shot at Rockstar, or pay for upgrades. That's what Rockstar did with GTA 5. I want to say it was $20 or something. You could go to a GameStop and say, hey, here's my Xbox One version, $20. Give me the, which frankly is bullshit.
Here's someone on Twitter that says, tell that to Rockstar. I've bought GTA 5 five times now.
Yeah, I own
same thing with you.
Yeah. I own it three different places. I've got two physical discs and on the PC. And it is bullshit. I mean, because you buy the game on the Xbox or whatever, and you're not getting a different game. You're getting the exact same game, just on another platform. So
what I'm interested to see if this is going to affect, for instance, if I buy something on a PlayStation, or will this ever carry over to like a PC? And you would generally say no, but what about once they kind of view you having a subscription, for instance, PS Now? Will there ever be a point where you run a client on your desktop that allows you to access your PlayStation games, kind of like what Xbox has done, and then you can play it on the PlayStation hardware? I'm wondering if they'll ever will eventually get their platform to be to where you own the game and you can play it on a couple different ways, but you're playing it through PlayStation.
PlayStation, no. Xbox, yes, because they've got the power of the Microsoft Store, and they're doing that now with games like what's the pirate game?
Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves. That's what they're doing now. And they do the same thing with Ark. You can buy Ark on the Microsoft Store and play it on the Xbox.
But don't you
Xbox.
Think PlayStation will ever want to compete with that possibility and give a way to can. Do it?
No, I don't think they will.
They could give a free subscription to PlayStation now.
Yeah, but they'd have to build a whole service out.
They have it already.
But they're not on PC. They have it on the console. But, I mean, you're talking about building out an entire service on PC.
You can play PlayStation now on your PC.
But aren't you streaming it?
You're not downloading. That's what I mean, though. That's what.
Okay. Yeah. Well, streaming. Yes. That's what I mean. Streaming's a lot easier. Yes. But
what if they kind of build up on that and they try to treat it like, oh, you can play your game anywhere? I think that that's kind of where they're going to go with this, to compete maybe with Google's, what is it, Stadia, and other places, or even with Microsoft, who's their biggest competitor in all this, is saying, all right, you know, sure, they have their service where you can play on a computer, you can play here. I bet you they'll open up PS Now eventually or something like that for games that you own to allow you to play. Because PS Now, you get a bunch of other games. It's like a rental service in a way, like a Netflix of video games.
Yeah.
I bet you eventually they'll just open up the PS Now app for games that you own. You can play them through PS Now, and then you can pay an additional service like Netflix to get a bunch of extra games. I just think that they'll do that to kind of compete and not seem like they're being left behind.
Possibly. I think they're going to get left behind just because of the dominance that Microsoft already has with Windows 10 and the Windows Store and everything like that.
Yeah.
Will they make a play? Yes, but you're not going to be able to compete with Microsoft on that. They've already got the user base. I already have a Microsoft account.
Yeah.
If you have an Xbox, you do have a Microsoft account, and it's integrated right into Windows. You can log into your Xbox account on the Windows Store and play your PC and play your Xbox games.
Yeah,
I mean
it'll be hard to say where eventually it will go.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're trying to figure out how they can compete in that arena, and they have the platform to do it. That's the thing. They have PS Now. They could allow you to play all of your games without an extra additional charge. Maybe make you have a PS Plus subscription or something.
Probably. And it will be interesting to see if this transitions over to PlayStation or if this is going to be maybe an advantage of purchasing Cyberpunk on an Xbox versus a PlayStation mm-hmm. if you have both consoles, because you will get a free version of the game on the Xbox X.
And that for me would be, because I'm always looking, like for instance, right now I look at PlayStation and I feel like they're dominant just because of some of the games that are available on there.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of thing that I'm always looking for, saying, okay, well, why would I bother going to an Xbox if that becomes a thing to where they are getting titles that, oh, I can play this on my PC? You know, if they can build that up enough, that'd be one of the competitive ways that get me to say, okay, well, maybe I'll get an Xbox. That would be the kind of game changer for me, is because I've already been interested in playing some games, but I'd like the idea of, oh, I have my option of which platform I want to play it on, and just pick one and go for it. So we'll see.
I hear you.
But yeah, Cyberpunk. Do you still think it's going to be a disaster?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that hasn't changed.
Nope. I don't have anything to prove otherwise. Okay. Now let me be clear. Not a disaster. It will be
It won't be. It'll be underwhelming.
It will underperform big time.
Okay. All right. So, we'll see. I hope not, but we'll find out.
Neither do I, but the reality is a reality.
So there's a video that I put in here. I don't know. Do you have the ability to play this on the fly, or do you need to download it? I added it afterwards.
Yeah, I can. I can.
Okay. So
set me up for it.
So this is Division 2, and this is pretty much an expansion that they've put out called Warlords of New York. Now, I own Division 2 on PlayStation. I haven't really, we played the original demo as a group. There were some of us that played that, and mm-hmm. you played through some of the initial story, and I pretty much have played that far on the PS4 in the actual release of the game. And I haven't really played through all the story, but this is their Warlords of New York. It's got story and character trailer. So it's going to give you an idea of some of the new things that they've added in, let's see if this is maybe enough to get me to actually play the game.
All right, let's take a look.
Agent, listen up. You and your squad are urgently needed in New York City. A biological attack hit Lower Manhattan. We need your help to hunt down the one responsible. Aaron Keener, call sign Vanguard. He's the one behind the deadly attack on division headquarters that killed dozens of top division agents and countless innocent civilians. And we suspect he's just getting started. Keep in mind, Keener knows this city inside and out. And he's as cunning and as lethal as they come. Originally, Keener was one of us. But 8 months ago, the division failed him by leaving him to die in the Dark Zone. That was the day he lost faith and went rogue. He disappeared and gathered all the tools he needed to engineer his own biological weapons. He doesn't just want revenge. He seeks chaos. He believes it is the only way for humanity to thrive. Keener isn't the only one with an axe to grind against the division. There are others. Keener has recruited 4 rogue agents who not only share his extremist vision, they have the skills to execute it. They've worked their way up within factions ruling over Lower Manhattan. If we want to get to Keener, we'll need to go through them first. First up, Vivian Conley. Former counterterrorism intelligence agent and chemical engineer, Conley's last known location was the Two Bridges sector. A hurricane ravaged the coast a few months ago, so it's a far cry from the thriving urban sector it once was. Keener's second rogue agent is Javier Kajika, a master of stealth and infiltration. He was a black ops hitman for the U.S. government. With the government collapse, his loyalty goes to whoever will feed his need for blood. Our latest intel locates Kajika somewhere in the Battery Park area, the part of the city that's taken over by swamp. The terrain is rough and scattered with giant sinkholes that used to be subway tunnels. Odds are he knows you're coming for him and plans to use the dicey terrain to get the drop on you. Both Conley and Kajika work with the Cleaners, a former New York City sanitation unit that believes only fire can stop the virus. Conley was recruited by the Cleaners when she went rogue, and thanks to her technical expertise, they're deadlier than ever. We've been exchanging blows with them for a while, but their methods are ruthless, and their cleansing fire takes no prisoners. James Dragov, former police officer. A heavy weapons and defense specialist. His relentless fight for justice made him a legend on the force. Yet, his allegiance has changed. Dragov took hold of the financial district and has been using it as the center of his black market operation. Our intel suggests he's still there. Be careful. Major flooding has transformed the entire district into a mudslide. Last but not least, Theo Parnell. A drone engineer and skilled hacker. He's managed to stay off the grid, so all we can say for sure is he's a true master of decoys and deception. Keener's arranged for the Rikers to protect him at an unknown location in the Civic Center area. Dragov and Parnell have both been linked to the Rikers, ex-cons from Rikers Island Prison. Regardless of who their enemies were in the past, they've agreed to band together. Their motto, power by numbers. And just like Keener, they thrive in chaos. Before you arrive at the base of operations with Agent Alani Kelso, I should warn you, a lot has changed in New York. The days when division agents were seen as knights in shining armor are long gone. The people around here are survivors. Ever since Keener and his rogue agents took over Lower Manhattan, there's been a distrust of division agents among civilians. Agent Fei Lau has been the acting commander of the division in New York City and is leading the hunt for Keener. Her methods are unconventional, but we're in a race against the clock, and Lau knows what it takes to get results quickly. You'll also find Paul Rhodes, now the leader of the civilian settlement. Because he's so tapped into the city, he may be able to help you track Keener and his rogue agents. Our mission is simple. Find and eliminate Keener. But to expose our target, we'll need to take down his chain of rogue agents before they destroy us. Agents, the hunt for Keener is on.
All right. You know, Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. Kind of seems like a scuffed version of Tarkov in a lot of respects.
Well, I mean, this is a paid DLC, first of all.
Yep.
So let me put that game out there. It's 30 games, pretty much. $30. Mm-hmm. And now, since I haven't played through the whole Division 2, which is based out of Washington, D.C., it seems like this brings in a lot of the Division 1 location.
Yeah, New York. Yeah, Division One Center. Yeah,
because I'm seeing some of the characters from the original Division. It seems like they're kind of continuing that story of, you know,
they already got the map done.
Yeah, they've got the map, so they're able to bring it in and kind of redo that whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see if this is. It does raise the level cap, so I think level 30 for Division Two is the cap, and this brings it to level 40. They'll do seasons, and they're claiming this is an overhauled experience for the player. So it's expanding upon, you know, whatever was in Division 2 currently. So be interesting if this is, they did do a lot with Division 1 after the fact with the whole survival, and they did a lot that people got kind of excited again about Division 1. And so they don't tend to drop projects. Like, they didn't just drop Division 1 because, you know, people didn't really like the end game of it. I think they did a good job of fixing it afterwards, and I'm curious if they're looking at doing whatever people feel like is short on Division 2, really putting in enough content to where people kind of overlook that.
Yeah, I can't think of a game that besides No Man's Sky that I felt fell completely flat than the Division. That game had an incredible amount of wind behind its sail. And yeah. I think after a lot of people, including myself and you and a lot of other people, played the original beta for Division 1, it was fun for a little while, but it just didn't stick.
Yeah.
I could care less about the Division 2. I wouldn't, if it was free to play, I wouldn't play it. I have zero interest to play it.
Well, for me, I own it, and I just playing it, and same thing, Head Neophyte is making a comment. It just didn't grab him. The Division 2 didn't. And that's how I felt playing it. It just felt, the Division 1 I enjoyed because the story kind of pulled me along and I was into it. And Division 2, it was more buggy than Division 1 by far. Going into it, there was just glitches and things not working right. And it was frustrating day one with a AAA studio and a AAA game, having it so buggy to start with. So it'd be interesting to see if this kind of fixes a lot of that. Because for me, it was frustrating. It was frustrating to try to play it.
Phantom says, looter shooter done wrong, The Division. Looter shooter done right, Tarkov. I mean, they're yeah. similar in kind of their... They are both looter shooters. Division's a little less looter than Tarkov is. But yeah, I think it's pretty accurate. You could say, hey, Nick, the game is free. You want to play it? I'd say no. I have no interest. And maybe that's being stubborn and stupid, but I just didn't do it. Games just sometimes just don't click. And I feel like the Division had a lot, again, had a whole bunch of wind behind its sails and fell flat I don't remember hearing anything about it.
One thing that they did poorly in the Division was that whole Dark Zone thing. It just felt like a grind after a point for no real.
No, for nothing goal. To gain.
You would go afterwards and be like, oh, I got a little better weapon.
Yeah, great.
You know, but so I can go back into the Dark Zone and try to get another little bit better weapon. I mean, yeah. there was just no reason to carry it out into the rest of the world.
Where the risk reward was very low.
Yeah. And I think that if they can have a DLC to where it seems like with this one, they are looking at maybe putting a little of substance behind the whole, because I mean, if you look, this is a rogue agent. They're actually putting a little bit of reason and justification behind the whole rogue agent thing. If they could get it to where there was a reason to go out there and get better gear, you know, whether that's through seasons and kind of incrementing the updates and things like that and the content, fine. But I think that they really dropped the ball with Division 2 on the initial release, because it, for how big of a game it is and how much is of a studio is behind it, as you said, we really heard nothing about it afterwards.
Yeah. Firebomb says, on the flip side, though, I bought the new expansion. I think Division 2 is amazingly fun. Interesting.
So he likes Division 2 as it is. Now, Firebomb, one thing I'd be interesting to see is, did he play Division 1 thoroughly? Because for me, I've played a lot of Division 1, and I just, so when I play Division 2, I compare it to that, and it just didn't seem like as nearly as cohesive of an experience for me.
Yeah. Well, hey.
And Firebomb says he did not play the Dark Zone, though.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you this. If a single person is happy playing a video game, fantastic.
Yeah.
It ain't for me. That's all. So that's Division 2. What'd you say? $30 on that?
$29.99 is what I'm seeing so far.
Warlords of New York. Check it out.
Yes. So another game that we've talked about for years now is Fortnite, and they've released their Chapter 2 Season 2. Okay. And from what I gather, this is one that, unless you're level 100, or, you know, like max level, you don't get to do all this. Like, it's a whole nother set of things that you get when you are up at a higher level. So they do have a video which announces it. I don't know if you want to play that really quick.
Yeah.
But kind of showing some of the new features and characters.
Okay. Let's take a look. No idea what I just watched.
So I mean, pretty much it kind of redoes some things with the map. It's got like this base area that you go into, and it's crazy. So they have a whole new battle pass that they've done, of course, which they always do, you know, new skins and different things you can get. But this seems like they're kind of creating a rift, trying to create like a faction system inside the game. So I'm kind of curious where that's going to go. You know, they're always kind of directing things, pushing it forward. I am curious whether or not this is eventually going to lead to a different game mode or something, or maybe the Save the World, if this is kind of them segueing to a hint at Save the World being in the regular game. It's interesting because they are creating two different factions, and I think people can choose between them or do something. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out because they don't have a lot of information out yet. They pretty much just released it and people are playing through it. And there's some things in the release that aren't actually available to play yet. Like, you're in your base and there's challenges and things that haven't been released yet. So I figured we'd show it and just kind of see. but I don't know. I don't know yet what to expect from it other than there's some new content, new things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it. That's Fortnite.
Okay.
Season 2.
Do you think that was long enough to get our weekly check from Epic?
Hopefully. Buy it. Excellent. That's all. We'll just say that. Buy it.
Yeah, yeah, buy it. Yeah, please. Please. Even though it says play free now, buy it, please.
Buy it, yeah. Well, I guess you could get Battle Pass and put in our creative code, whatever that is.
Yeah, who cares?
Search for
yeah, whatever. Okay, so that's Fortnite. We got that. Got a lot of videos this week, so sorry about that, but beforehand. There's an update here from Sea of Thieves.
And now in their videos, they do talk, which is nice.
They do. And I think they do a pirate voice in their videos, too. Yes. This is update 2.0.12 from Sea of Thieves. Now, this video is a little long, so we'll play a good chunk of it. We'll see how it progresses through, and we'll discuss right after this.
It's time for another free monthly update for Sea of Thieves. There's new cursed chests of rage, extreme makeovers with the pirate appearance potion, and battles with fearsome ashen skeletons at Molten Sands Fort. All of this and more as we take to the seas with Crews of Rage. Duke has new raging bounty voyages in store for you and your crew that will send you off in search of a new cursed chest, the Chest of Rage. The Chest of Rage contains the souls of trapped pirates who desperately want to be released, and their rage fuels the power of this chest. And to make sure their anger stays contained as you ferry it across the waves, you'll have to keep it cool. A plunge into the depths of the sea will be enough to keep it under control. Or if you're on the move, a bucket of water should do the trick. But more neglectful pirates will find themselves dealing with the devastation of an explosive shockwave of fire. Each raging bounty voyage will lead you across the seas in search of hordes of vicious skeletons. And as you face off against brutal skeleton lords, using the power of this chest against them might just tip the scales in your favor. Toasty. If you want to risk taking your haul to the Reaper's hideout, then just as with last month, the Masked Stranger is offering you double gold for your trouble. She even seems quite happy to take the Chest of Rage off your hands. I wonder why. And for those pirates who have been feverishly collecting ashen tomes, the final 5 tomes are now out in the wild for you to find. Hunt them down and you'll unlock incredible ashen cosmetics for your ship. Get them while they're hot. In the Bilgrat's Black Market, you'll find a treasure trove of new cosmetics for your character and ship. Entice the band to get back together one more time with the Fearless Bone Crusher instrument set. It's a pretty metal look for a pirate cover band, but this guy seems to like it. There's also the Deep Ocean Crawler clothing and ship set for pirates craving to represent their inner crustacean character. And for those swept up in the romance of the month, there's the Wild Rose ship livery. Oh, isn't that sweet? And there are new additions to the Pirate Emporium too. Send your rivals a point-blank message of love with the new stunningly deadly Reaper's Heart weapons. It's often said on the Sea of Thieves that there's a fine line between love and hate. Shooting someone tends to clarify things. There are also new cursed pets available with the Reaper's Heart Macaw and Capuchin. These constructs of dark magic may be cursed and rather creepy, but they still need kind-hearted pirates to give them a forever home. And if you feel like your pet could do with a makeover, there are new outfits now available. Soften the edges of your little heartbreakers with the delightfully floral Rose costume set. Or maybe kit out your cockatoo with the new Admiral set to let them lord it over all the other pets. And if you're looking for a new way to express yourself, we've got emote bundles for pirates of all persuasions. Whether you want to hear whispers of what the future has in store for you, show off your sea dog swagger, or simply take the time to commemorate a special moment between you and your crew. The emotes in this month's update will send your spirits soaring like you're king of the world. And if you've ever wished your pirate could look a little less like the result of the hasty decision you made when you first took to the seas, well, now's your chance with the Pirate Appearance Potion. Grab one of these potions and you'll be prompted to roll the dice and select a brand new character that better reflects your pirate persona. And don't worry, all of your currency, purchases, and trading company and commendation progress are coming along with you. And rounding out this month's offering from the Pirate Emporium is the Viva Pinata-inspired Paradise Garden Ship Livery. A tribute to the mythical candy-filled creatures who are rumoured to roam a lush Paradise Island. This full ship set's eye-popping colours and details are sure to lead you to adventures that are always filled with fun. All across the seas, skeleton forts have started to fall quiet. All except Molten Sands Fortress in the Devil's Roar. Ashen skeletons have been sighted there, gathering alongside Ashen Guardians and Keymasters, so before they can carry out whatever misdeeds they have planned, let them taste steel. Battle hard and overcome a ferocious skeleton lord, and a mighty reward, or two, will be yours. So keep a cool head as the seas start to heat up in the next Sea of Thieves monthly update, Cruise of Rage.
Arr, goodbye my skins, Brian.
Well, but we gotta admit, that game does look like it'd be fun.
Every time I see their trailer,
yeah. Like I'm tempted. If it were on PS4, I'd already own it. That's the thing.
It does look fun. I'm not gonna doubt that. It's just the chat pointed this out. All the content updates are skins. Which, again, if that's
but it seems like there's a lot of content that they're not pushing as. I think the maps and stuff, they're not so much pushing as, oh, this is coming out here. Because look at all that stuff that's in there. There's tons of content.
Yeah.
I mean, the different islands and everything else.
Now, we are outsiders, so it's hard to say, oh, they should be doing something different. It's, you know, it's possible that this is exactly what the community wants. And if that's the case, then we don't have any place to say otherwise. That's Sea of Thieves. This is update 2.0.12. And before we move on, I do have a quick update on the status of everybody's favorite Atlas. This is from the community manager. Arc. Here's an update from the community manager on Twitter. He says the latest Xbox update may not be the full/correct Genesis update. Still trying to sort that out. So there might be some issues with possibly the wrong version. This is what he says. Based on my latest guesstimate, this is 2 minutes ago, 6 p.m. Pacific for PC and PS4. What about Xbox? Figure it out. So 9 p.m. Pacific, so here in about 40 minutes-ish for that, and then Xbox is probably boned by the sounds of it. It sounds like they put a partial patch on Xbox, or what they thought was the gold version that they were ready for, and it turned out not to be, and now they're screwed. So
it's just crazy that they if they would have done what I mentioned earlier in the show,
they did, and that's part of the problem.
No, they should have one that pushed and was accepted by Microsoft previous.
It was days accepted. Ago. Yeah.
They'd be rolling it out. Well, they have one, but it doesn't seem like that is the right version they thought it was.
It's not. Well, no, it sounds like it is, but that they haven't updated. They can't release a version on Xbox that's 2 weeks behind the version on PC.
Yeah, they can't go through the gold process on it.
Well, it's not going to go through the gold, but you're not going to release two different
versions. But Microsoft makes them get a gold, their version of gold. They make them actually get it, and they have to submit it and get it verified. Yes, that it's stable.
Well, and they clearly have that. Because there is a version that is on the Xbox right now. So what it's
just behind.
Well, and the problem with it being behind is then the servers are behind, meaning the people can't play. So it sounds like they did do what you described, but now they're running into a snafu with trying to get it approved at 9 o'clock Eastern time or 6 o'clock on the West Coast, trying to get a game approved or not, you know, a patch approved, which is a whole process. So all right, I don't want to spend any more time on it. Just wanted to bring you that up to date, bring you that update rather. And I'll keep an eye on it throughout the rest of the program.
Okay. Very good. Do you have a preference where we go from here?
No, not really. Oh, yes, I do. This isn't even in the notes. I forgot to put them in there. The game, Brian, that I have been.
Oh yes, I saw your post on this. I figured you'd put it in there.
And I forgot to put them in the show notes. And
I'll put them in there while you're.
You failed me. Outbreak is it's a storm chasing game. And their Kickstarter's live, and tell you what, man, this thing took off like a freaking rocket here. This Kickstarter's been on 2 days. Their goal is $22,000 US. I believe they're in Canada. So let's see if this will show us the difference. Their goal is 30,000 Canadian and they've got 21,000 right now. They're already at $16,000. So, I mean, they're well over 2/3 of the way there. And they're all in on this. So this is a multiplayer storm chasing experience. I guess there's a video here, but I probably should have watched this. It's not super relevant for the show here, but this is kind of what you do in the game. You storm chase, you take pictures of storms, you watch storms, you put probes near storms to collect information. You get gas.
Sounds like not a running simulator. It's like a driving simulator.
Okay, so there's a couple things about this. Storm chasing is something that is incredibly dangerous to do in real life. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you can pay groups to do it. It's very, very expensive. And with shows like the Weather Channel has a show about this. The History Channel had a show back in the mid-2010s about this with Reed Timmer and his group of people. So it's been a relatively mainstream thing. And you see it all anytime there's like the springtime, you know, you watch like a national newscast and there's tornadoes in the Midwest. They're always showing videos from people driving around. So it's not like it's some crazy fringe thing. It's relatively mainstream in the, you know, as it can be for a weather game. And it's clearly got some support because it's got 330 backers in less than 2 days. So I'm going to have to now. So Brian, if you'd like to do this, I think this would be fun. You want to pick the tier I'm going to get? Cause I'm going to have to back this just because I got to support the cause. So what now the $10, that's Canadian rubles. So let's see, what version gets me the game? Okay. So at 22, boy, I tell you what, the currency exchange for this is perfect. For $30 Canadian, $22 US, you get a copy of the game and your name in the credits. Now that's cool. I should do this one. This is the $37 version, and you get two copies of the game and your name in the game. Or we can do two times one copy of the game when released on early access on Steam, your name in the credits.
Is the other one not on early? Okay. Oh, it is. Are they the same one?
Get two copies of Epic, reduced prices.
Usually what they do is
this is a limited amount. That's what that is. Okay. Yeah. So that's a limited amount.
Yep.
Or we could do the bronze, your name in the game, one copy of Outbreak, closed beta access.
Oh,
and the bronze cosmetic package. And that's $53. That's pretty high. Closed beta, silver cosmetic package. I'm probably gonna go with the two copies. We'll give away a copy on the show.
$37.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. Give away a copy on the show when it comes out.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
Hopefully, it's one of those niche things where the people are into it. You know, the Here's people the that are into it, it's like, oh, this is awesome.
And by the way, there's a whole bunch of maps. The map is huge. Now, so they do this comparison. It's kind of ridiculous. They say this is their map in comparison to everybody else's map. So their map is 625 kilometers. And they show GTA's map, which is incredibly densely populated. The Witcher map, which is densely populated. Zelda Breath of the Wild, marginally populated. Skyrim, Far Cry, and Red Dead Redemption. Now, valid, but there is not a chance in hell that this map is, you ever driven through the Midwest? You live practically in the Midwest, Brian. There's nothing there. It's just
once you get miles out of sagebrush. And miles.
Yeah, that's it. So it's going to be huge map, but it's going to be a huge map of nothing because that's what the Midwest is.
But the thing is, they only have to throw in houses here and there because all it really is, oh, a tornado's coming. Oh, it's going to destroy that house. You know, it's not like you're running around. All right.
There's more than that. You don't need to attack the game here.
I didn't attack it. I'm just saying that they could spread those things out. And then maybe even just spawn weather around where they have certain things, and you just have to, you know, they need to make the map big because you feel like you're traveling to it. You're seeing it as it's approaching and make it a big deal.
Now, here's something for you. They've got a little pie chart here. Where will the money go? I want to get your opinion on this. So payment processing fee, 5% of the money right off the top is payment processing. 5% off the top is Kickstarter. So you've got 10% of 30,000 Canadian. That's going to be fees. 18% is a safety net. I guess that's probably assuming for or put in place for delayed development time, licensing costs that are unexpected. 14% of the money is going to cars, the vehicles that you'll be driving. Almost 11% is going to environmental assets. Big chunk of it, almost 40%, is the net code, which is arguably one of the most important
things. You're saying this is multiplayer? It is multiplayer?
It is. It's a big multiplayer game. And then another 11% is VFX, so, you know, the graphics in the game.
It sounds like these are more of developers paying developers, because I don't know that these aren't going to be out of the box. You're not going to have all the video effects. There's probably some that they've been able to get.
Well, this is for the Kickstarter. This is so once they reach the goal,
they're hiring someone
grand.
Who does video effects.
No, they're getting that I don't percentage think so. Because this you wouldn't include somebody's PayPal. You wouldn't include payment processing fees. And this is the breakdown for the entire game. This
That's
is where
I'm
the
saying,
money's
though,
is going to be spent.
They're probably allotting towards
paying
a person to finish up their video effects for
exactly.
them.
Exactly, and that's going to cost about 11% of the 30 grand that they're making. So I think this is interesting. I don't believe I've ever seen this. I'm sure it exists, but I don't believe I've ever seen this before.
I've seen some where they kind of break down generally where the fees go to.
And then they've got their different reward levels. I don't know if they have any Ooh, here's an award. You get to choose the name of a town. Ooh, how much is that version? That's called the ambassador level. It's all gone. It was 500 Canadian and two people have already bought. It's already sold out. Well, dang.
Well, there you go. Your chance.
So is the $200 version. Design your own image decal to be used in the outbreak vehicles. 10 of those were available. Those are already gone. This is doing great. There's obviously a really strong community of people supporting this. So it's called Outbreak, O-U-T-B-R-K. It's on Kickstarter. You can visit their website, outbreakbrkgame.com. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Put my money where my mouth is. I always talk about supporting, even if it's not something that is necessarily a good value, if supporting something that you're passionate about. We kind of similarly talk about this. Am I going to get $37 worth of value out of this game? Probably not. I'll probably never play it.
But it might encourage another one in the future.
You know, but it's my
genre.
You want
to keep the genre moving forward.
Exactly. It's something I really enjoy. It's something I love. And it's something that for a relatively small sum of money, I can make happen. Which is these guys' dreams, clearly. So yep. I can buy a little bit of their dream. Is that the wrong way of looking at it? I don't know. I can share their dream. I can contribute. Well, it's not sharing their dream. I can contribute
to their dream. They're sharing
their
dream with you.
Correct. And I'm paying premium price for them to share that dream
to do
with
it,
me. Outbreak the game. check it out.
All right. We ready for a quick game giveaway announcement?
Oh, yeah. And stay tuned. Couple weeks, couple months, couple years, whenever this game comes out.
We'll have whenever another, the game actually releases.
I think it says December. So end of the year. Okay. Hopefully we'll be doing the show. Good. Wouldn't that be some stuff? I buy this updated version of the game and then we stop doing the show. I have nobody to give it to. I have no friends. Not a single person that wants the game.
That is the most negative way to possibly look at it. We end the show and like everybody that we know just like, bye, done. Leaving Discord emptied.
Yeah. I've been slowly shoveling people over to my private Discord when I plan to leave you.
All right. Yeah, start me and Joe. Except for I'm over there. That's the problem. Oh, wait. Is there another private Discord? Private Discord?
No.
Okay. Right.
I'm kidding.
All right. So if you do exclamation point giveaway in chat, there's a game called Cathedral. And I'll put a link to the Steam in there. It's currently $14.99. And this is an action adventure indie Metroidvania type of a game. So pretty much it's 600 rooms and you have to kind of work your way through it. It's more of the side scroller style. So if you like the old classic side scroller, it has very positive ratings on Steam currently. So if you're interested in that, exclamation point giveaway in chat and you can enter for that. We'll give it away before the end of the show. It is a single player adventure game. So they have challenging boss fights and some cool 8-bit music if you like that. So
very Castlevania-y. And it's relatively new. It's been out since November of last year. So
yeah.
Very positive reviews as well. So that's great.
Yep. Exclamation point giveaway in chat, and we'll give it away here within an hour.
Yes, sir. And if you're not here joining us live, well, you should be. We're live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and you can join in on the chat. You can be part of the game giveaways, a whole bunch of stuff you can do with that. So hopefully you'll join us for that. All right, let's talk about a game here, Subnautica Below Zero, which is their new game that they released a couple months back, Subnautica Below Zero. And there's an update here called the Lost Ship update. There's a short video for that. We'll watch, and then we will discuss. So they show a couple things there. The big point of this one is the crashed ship that they added. It's
on a specific planet.
Yep.
It's like on the bottom of the ocean floor,
big Titanic style ship, massive ship. And you're going to be able to swim through it and do some investigation.
Probably some things you can loot out of there. Some special items.
Mm-hmm. And they've added like a little companion thing. It's called the Trivalve. It's like a tadpole looking thing, but it's got one big eye and maybe two little eyes. Kind of reminds me of like an ark style creature. It says, they're very curious about your presence. You can feed them and they'll become your friendly companion. So they'll kind of follow you around maybe later on in the game, like lead you onto things or like, push you in a direction to do something. So that'll be pretty cool. They added Aurora Borealis, which of course is a fan favorite. I'm a big fan of the Aurora Borealis, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. They've done some polish and improvements, and then some work on the story as well. And by the way, this game's available on Epic. So
yeah, and I think. Did they give it away initially, like when they first launched the Epic Store?
No, they gave the old Subnautica away, I think.
Oh.
Subnautica 1.
Yeah,
I thought they...
Yeah, that's right. They gave the original Subnautica. And this one is, I think, an improvement. They did a lot of improvements in this Subnautica versus the first one. So, because the first one was pretty much all underwater, and like this one, you actually can go above water, and there's a more to it. So, very interesting.
It's interesting. The Subnautica games, a lot of people play them. I've just never found them to be all that.
I think as we've played a lot of similar style of game. I mean, this is a lot of the kind of Ark and Conan. It's that style of a game, a little bit more on a track than those are, but it's a very similar style. So it's for some people to be very new, and for us, it's not, because we played a lot like it. So Head Neophyte said it was the first free game.
That makes sense. I don't know. Maybe it's the water stuff. I've never found underwater.
What about rafts though? You don't like going underwater?
No, I've never found that to be rafts. All right. It's a good game, but I've never been, I know there's a lot of people in our community that are very intrigued by the underwater aspect. I've never had any itch at all. Like that's never something I'm looking for. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of water or anything. I can swim. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just, even in Ark, I'm thinking even back to like games like Minecraft, people used to build stuff underwater. I just never cared.
Maybe because of the limitation, because it is a slightly limited gameplay.
It is limited. In a way. Yeah, it slows everything down. You feel like you're drowning. It just slows everything down.
Back nightmares from your childhood.
You know. Yeah, I mean, you know, my grandmother throwing me in the pool. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I've never found underwater to be of any interest.
Yeah.
Head Neophyte says the ocean is the closest thing to an irrational fear I have. No, that's an irrational fear. It's not the closest thing. I don't know. Playing in an underwater biome does not tickle my fancy in any stretch of the imagination. Raft is fun. Atlas is fun. Those games are on top of water, but exploring underwater has always been kind of lame. I've never enjoyed it.
Yeah, maybe at some point with VR, I mean, I bet you there will be a game where they can really take advantage of it to where it just feels like, oh, that's cool.
That would be kind
of, but I think right now it feels more limiting than where in VR it would be like you feel like you're exploring, where you're actually like looking under something.
That would be super cool.
So
yeah,
I think VR would be a very good platform to really kind of push
maybe that's like that. Maybe that's part of it. I mean, like most people, I've been underwater before. And maybe it's the lack of immersion. I don't care how immersed you are getting in an underwater game. You've been underwater before. It's a very interesting, there's a feel to swimming underwater with a pair of goggles or snorkeling or scuba diving, whatever it may be. Maybe that's it. It's so... Yeah,
I think with VR, they could really get you on kind of the jump scares.
Yeah.
They could do a much better job where when you're with the mouse and keyboard, being able to really look around a lot makes it difficult. But I think if you got it to where you kind of had that fear of a little bit of claustrophobia and, you know, just I think they could do so much better, kind of similar to even space. Like space, there's not really a fear in space.
Space.
When you're playing a space game.
Space.
Right? But there's not that fear. You're not, what are you worried about? Oh, my suit's going to break.
Crashing my ship and losing all my
crash your ship, online. But there's nothing that's rational about fearing space other than a malfunction of equipment. You know, there's not space monsters and all these things. There are in games, but that doesn't play off of a real fear. In water, there's plenty of fears they could play off if they did it right. And I think that's the fear of drowning, which is a very real thing. A fear of sharks and certain types of creatures. I mean, if they did a good jump scare game right, they could really play on those fears and I think do a good job.
Yeah. I mean, you could sit here and like waterboard yourself while you play a game like this. That could be rather interesting, yeah, I guess.
I'm afraid of water.
you're having your girlfriend just pour gallons of water on top of you in like a little pool in your living room. No, keep pouring, please. I'm trying to get immersion.
I'm pumping myself up for Subnautica.
Yeah. Could you imagine sitting in your living room in a blow up pool with a mask on and somebody pouring gallons of somebody running a hose over your head and you're just sitting there struggling to breathe playing Subnautica. I couldn't think of a better way to spend a Friday night.
Hey, maybe we'll do that at PAX. We'll do a waterboarding stream. Yeah. I think that might be illegal. I don't think they allow you to do waterboarding on Twitch.
You think that might be illegal? I mean, yeah.
We'll have to find
Mixer.
Which platform do we like being on the least?
Mixer.
All right, Mixer. We'll be doing a live stream of a waterboarding event on Mixer.
The drunkest gets waterboarded at PAX. All right, we're joking. I know waterboarding's serious. It's a joke. Okay, we're having fun. We're not. It's a joke. Okay.
We'll see you next week on Mixer or YouTube.
Yeah, who cares? I gotta stay here till December. I gotta give this game away. So that's Subnautica. I know a lot of people I know a lot of people play it and enjoy it. So if that's the case, check out the new update, new ship to.
And they did put out. We'll have a link in the show notes as well for their update 7, which kind of discusses some of this and some things they're working on. It's more of a dev blog. So if you're interested in that, we'll have a link that you can also follow.
Yes, sir. In our show notes, infectionpodcast.com.
All right. We were talking about water. So how about we talk a little bit about a pirate game that is not Sea of Thieves, okay. One that we've played together, Blackwake. Mm-hmm. So Blackwake has gone to their 1.0 full release.
Hey, so congratulations.
And they permanently dropped their price. Maybe you should learn something from this Factorio. to $9.99. So that's their permanent price drop, $9.99. They're into 1.0. They've doubled the XP that you get, it's doubled from what it was before. And they've done some fixes, but they really went through with this and kind of detailed the progress and how they got to today. They talk about the 2014 Kickstarter pitch that they did to do this. They show a lot of they show some of the videos that they've released and the stats. So like the launch stats, and over from January of 17 to May 17, kind of what happened with sales and players, what they've added since early access. It's a nice kind of chronicle of how they got to the 1.0. So, we'll have a link to that. They show all the different characters and the ships, what they've done, releasing the bots and things like that. So this is a fun game. It's very good price. I mean, $9.99 I think is fair. And it took them 3 years to pretty much release.
I have a couple thoughts about the price drop. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a way? Let me see if I can phrase this. Do you think this is a way for them to make some extra bucks on kind of the downswing here? Because a 1.0 release
for a game.
Players. So exactly. So that's kind of what I'm saying is obviously now that the game is full release, if it's like what full release should be, they should either get rid of some development staff or pivot that development staff over to another project. Yeah. So is this a way for them to, I'm not going to say a cash grab because that's got a negative connotation, but I will because I don't know. Is this a way to just grab some cash as you are transitioning, some of the team members off this to, pad your pockets a little for your next project, potentially?
I bet you it's more of their player numbers aren't as high as they probably think they should be, right?
Okay.
And I think they want people playing it because,
yeah, of course,
what's going to be the point game. If people aren't playing it? Yeah. And to make it they did have bots to kind of counter some of this, but they need for it to be truly considered successful. They need people playing it. And so I think this is them saying, all right, what price do we think it's going to take to get people to pick this up? And I think $9.99 is a totally fair price. I think cheaper than that, it would be more of a slap in the face to them. It's not a $5 game. I think this is the lowest price they could get away with it. And I think they're hoping just to pick up a lot of players, as many players as possible, to keep the game alive and keep it moving forward.
I wonder how many people,
and who knows, they may be working on another project now, and if they figure people consistently keep buying this, keep picking up new players, it'll help fund whatever project they're moving on to.
Yeah. Oh, wow. These numbers are brutal. There's 200 people. Numbers. There's 216 people playing right now.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying is I think that they're hoping that it will just continually keep picking up players.
Man, I thought this game was a lot more popular than this. The 7-day peak is 650. That's incredibly low for this game. This game, for a game of this, what I thought this game was.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a tough thing because Sea of Thieves came out in this time. Atlas came out. Not that that's a huge competition now. But
Atlas has got 16 times the amount of, Atlas has got like 4,000 or 5,000 people playing. This has got 6 or 7 times the amount of people.
But I think that there's a lot of competition. If you look at something like Sea of Thieves, incredibly polished in comparison.
Yes.
This is a fun game. They just need to get a lot of people playing it.
Yeah. So
I think them and the price thing, I think going free to play would bring a lot of trash to the game.
It would.
A lot of stuff that you don't want. I think that a $10 price point is very fair. It'll keep it from getting just a bunch of kids pretty much playing it.
Well, I don't even trolling think it's
it.
That.
Hackers
I don't think
the, playing it.
Well, that's the big issue. I mean, the kids.
The thing is you want to price it to where if you're banning people on a regular basis that, it's $5. I'll just, $50. I'll buy 10 copies and keep hacking.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at the player count now, I know why they dropped the price, because they need they need active players. And it doesn't make sense.
That's what I was saying is they want people playing it.
Yeah. Spot on. Cool. Well, we need to do this for game of the week. This is a very fun game. A lot of people have it too.
We've done it before. So we had a blast doing it. They've done a lot of improvements since we played it for game of the week. So
yeah,
we'll put it on our list of ones to play here in the short term.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. We played some Scum here, what, a month or two ago now? I played some Scum, and you tried to play some Scum.
It didn't have my VPN on, so I couldn't play. Whoops.
Yes. But they've released two patches, so 0.3.71.2042. These long version numbers just kill me. So on here, they've been redoing some of the inventory icons. So if you go in there, you will notice that they've been reworking some of that, reworking some of the weapons. So they do a stacked, like a jigsaw style inventory. I don't remember that.
What do you mean?
So, kind of like what Tarkov does.
Yes, they do.
They do a jigsaw type of inventory. Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, so they're saying because of the icons being reworked that the first time that you go into your inventory, things may not look right because they've redone those icons. They're different sizes and shapes and everything else. Mm-hmm. So they'll be overlapping. You're not going to lose your items, but once you pull the items out and then put them back in, you'll have to actually follow the rules and stack them in the proper way.
Famous last words. You won't lose your items.
Oh, yeah. He'll be fine. One thing that they've also been working on is kind of fixing the night, because the night was way too dark before, to where at night you couldn't even see an outline of anything. Like if it was pitch dark, you could barely see. You'd have to turn your gamma up or something to be able to see anything. So they have it to where you can just kind of roughly see. It's a little bit lighter. So you're able to see some things. They've been reworking some of the shadows and the way that the shadows are cast with lighting in the game. Trying to improve the look of that. They've been reworking on the spawning system. They call them puppets rather than zombies, but their puppet spawning system. They've been working on that in this patch. They've added a mute command. The mute command has been adjusted. It's now called silence. So you can silence people, and then the mute command instead now mutes the desired player locally. So you can have silence, which I think cuts everything, and then you can mute an individual person so they can't talk. They've added some private server settings for people that run private servers, and then did some quality of life updates. One thing, they did remove these snow sledges from the game, and they said they've removed them from the crafting list, and they'll be wiped later on until we fix them for good. So they've taken those out.
They don't improve one approach.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, remove it.
Remove it.
and yeah, just bug fixes and kind of redoing some of the box art and various items. So that's that patch. Then they did a hot fix right after that. So it's 0.3.72.20478. And they kind of show a little bit of how they've redone some of these icons, because there was a lot of dead space in the icons before. So like a weapon in Tarkov, they do a really good job of, like, with certain weapons, it's the shape of it matches pretty well the shape of the gun that you see.
Yes.
Here they had it to where, like, the gun height was 3 times more than what it should have been.
That's
right with, and so it's taking way too much space. So that's their go here into detail of how they tightened all those up, so that you could take advantage of like a 10 by 20 backpack and actually fit the right number of weapons and items into it. So that is the second set of patch notes, and that pretty much does it for Scum for now.
All right.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Fallout, your favorite game?
I'm a huge fan of Fallout 76. Do you own Fallout 76?
No.
Okay. Well, I do, and I've played it at least for 4 hours. So
you're an expert.
I'm a professional. So all versions are now the same across all platforms, 1.2.7.26. Some general bug fixes here, stability and performance, addressed multiple issues that could sometimes result in a crash when a world was under heavy load. Stability fixed an issue that could cause the PlayStation 4 client to crash after disconnecting while in game. Addressed a UI issue that could cause Xbox One game clients to crash. Fixed a crash that could occur when reconnecting to the internet while running the Xbox One game client. So maybe if your internet went out or something like that, and your router blipped for a second, your game could crash. A couple things they did graphic-wise: when entering the power armor with Nuka-Cola dark paint, parts of the armor's interior no longer appear see-through, so that was a fix on that. Corrected some visual effects that were not appearing correctly when firing and reloading the black powder rifle with the flintlock paint. So these are very specific to certain paint styles and or skins on certain guns. The Nuka-Cola vending machine will no longer continue to appear damaged after the owner has repaired it. That's fixed. And then texture fix here: when reloading and firing a lever action rifle with the Scarlet Sniper paint, bullets and casings now display the correct textures. So very, very specific there. For the camp, they made some changes to the floors and how those are consumed. Lights, they've added alternative versions of the oval holiday string lights. Okay, that can be mounted on the walls. And then a couple of other things for that. And then they added a new item. They didn't add it on. This is a fix for the dragon. Applying the Nighthawk skin to the dragon now correctly renames the weapon to the Nighthawk. So, incredibly specific patches. I would love, Brian, more than anything else, and I would love for a lot of things, I would love nothing more than to know how many people are playing Fallout 76 across all the platforms. I have a feeling it is so much lower than we think.
Yeah.
Like, it may be as big of a game, it may be in the high hundreds. Possible.
That's possible.
Like, you may talk about 900 concurrent players.
I think that, personally, I think that what this game needs is that update that's coming out here, you know, whenever they eventually release it, with the NPCs and all of that. That's what this game should have had from the beginning, because this Fallout's boring without all that.
Too little, too late.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that's going to bring back the player base.
But. Let's see. Fallout 76. There are 265 people watching on Twitch right now. If that's
265
people watch viewers on Twitch across a whole bunch of channels.
It's just what's fun about watching someone play it?
I mean, well, honestly, it's the personality. That's what always
but the, made but the personalities the aren't playing this game, because there's just it seems like it'd be sucks. Too much work to make it fun.
Yeah. Agreed. So, totally.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm interested to see what the new expansion does, if it makes it to where people actually start playing it again, if it fixes it, or is this going to be just one of those blips in history of, oh, that was a bad Fallout game?
Yeah. The world may never know.
All right. So before the show, we did a quick paste bin pretty much to be able to get to some patch notes for Jaws of Extinction, because as we were talking about in the beginning, they no longer, they don't, for some of their updates, they'll actually put a Steam post, and there's a place we can link to it in our show notes. But this one, they've been posting directly in their Discord in their updates channel. So we just, we pulled that really quick. Their 0.2.21.4a patch, they did probably about 6 or 7 fixes on this, just tweaking things. They did some adjustments to, so like LODs and collision on some of the items. They did remove the limit of there was a limit of crafting 17 things and they changed that to 999. So if you're crafting, you can now craft up to 999 items at once. Crafting arrows has been adjusted from 5 seconds to 1.5 seconds. I can only imagine, you know, multiplying 5 times 100 arrows, sit there forever. And then they added a max craft button, which you can check and allows you to craft the maximum amount of items that you can do in your inventory. And this was a hot fix. So this isn't one of their main patches, but that is brings us current for Jaws of Extinction. Now, Realm Royale, I mentioned this beforehand, they put out, I saw a big patch happen, and nowhere is there a indication of what the patch was. So
I don't know if we talked about it on the program. I played this a few weeks ago with Musty. He pinged me on like a Saturday or Sunday and said, hey, download this and let's play. So we did, and it was actually had a good time. We were able to combine, get a couple kills. I mean, we still got slaughtered, but we were relatively competitive. It was fun. I just am not interested in playing a BR. How about this? If I was to actively play a BR, it would probably be Realm Royale, would be at least in the top three.
Yeah.
It may be number one. I'm just trying to think if there's a BR that I probably enjoyed the most and am actually somewhat capable. Apex is probably number one because I enjoyed Apex a lot, but Realm Royale is very close too. Those are fun BRs.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I enjoyed Realm Royale. Probably Apex, Realm Royale, Fortnite, maybe what's the other one? The Asian one that
ROE,
Ring of Elysium. Those would probably be the top ones for me. PUBG, I think I got a video that I really wanted to show you with PUBG. Actually, perfect segue. Realm Royale, no update notes.
Jesus. Let's talk a little bit about Brian. PUBG. Old man Aldridge over here falling off of his rocker.
PUBG. There was somebody who made a video talking about why PUBG feels unresponsive and sluggish. And I think he did a really good job of explaining why it just doesn't feel like a lot of the other games do. And so let's play that really quick.
I didn't see that.
It's a 3-minute video.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, it's a 3-minute video. And he explains the technique that other games do to make the game feel responsive, and what PUBG doesn't do. And so this, I caught this and I thought it was really interesting for people that are interested in game development or even just about PUBG. It's a pretty good video.
And this is by this guy's name is Taylor. He has 60 subscribers on YouTube and 42,000 views on this video.
But he has relevant information.
So. My point is this is not some like large channel. So this will be rather interesting. Let's take a quick look at Taylor's video.
One of the biggest reasons why this game feels sluggish is it doesn't have action queuing. And what I mean by action queuing is if you're in the middle of an animation and you try and do and you're holding down an input command, the game will ignore it. You have to repeat the command after the animation is played. Barely any other first-person shooter, let alone any other game in the last 10 years, doesn't have action queuing. But PUBG doesn't have action queuing. See, when I switch to my gun and I hold down right-click, you'll see nothing happens. I've switched to my gun, I'm holding down right-click, why isn't my character ADSing going downside?
Interesting.
Like this? Mm-hmm. Well, it's ignoring the command. Even though I'm holding down the command, because there was an animation before playing while I put the command in, it will ignore it. This makes the game feel so much more sluggish, because now every animation that you do, whether it's jumping, falling down a ledge, vaulting, everything. When I hold down right click, nothing happens. I vault over this, hold down right click, nothing happens. I vault over and I want to shoot, holding down left click, nothing happens. When you're in a hot drop situation and you pick up a gun and you try and reload it and you want to shoot, holding down left click, oh, the gun's reloaded, but you're not shooting. So now what happens is you reload. Now you have to keep tapping left click and then you can hold it down. It's so unintuitive and it makes the game feel terribly sluggish. Now you're probably thinking, well, oh, it's realistic. You know, it's part of the game's realism, which is, I mean, if you honestly think that, you should be shot out of a cannon, because the game has its realism in the movement and the fact that there's like a slow acceleration to movement. So it's not like Overwatch where you can like zip around and change the velocity of where you're moving instantly. This game has, you know, it slows you down. There are parts of this game that are realistic, but there are other parts that are just fundamentally bad game design that make it feel terrible to play. And action queuing is one of them. Action queuing is one of the biggest ones in this game, by far. If you switched guns and held down left click in PUBG, nothing would happen. But if you do that in any other shooter, you switch guns holding down left click. As soon as the animation finishes, the game will try and commit to the next command that you are
giving. Is this PUBG?
It is constantly checking and updating okay. to see what command you have given.
He's showing you how it should be operating.
What game is this though?
Same way. If I switch guns and hold down ADS,
oh,
do it as soon as it can. As soon as it's possible, it'll do it.
Which makes it feel responsive.
Throw a grenade.
Yeah, of course.
Switch to my gun. Hold ADS as soon as possible. Makes the game feel so much smoother. Okay, if you fall in PUBG, you'll be stuck in a fall animation, right? Now, Battlefield has a similar one.
Oh, this is Battlefield.
If I jump, okay. I'm holding down right-click, it'll happen. As soon as I finish the animation, I'll go into ADS. It'll listen to the command I've given it. Incredible.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, great video. Give this guy.
What's funny is he's got 1,000 thumbs up, but he's got 60 subscribers. So
it's great.
I'll sub to him.
I'm ringing the bell, Brian, on his channel. Bell, yeah. I'm slamming the bell from across the interwebs.
But from a game developer's, because that's one thing that I've just been so frustrated with PUBG and how they've done it. I mean, for being supposedly not a AAA studio, but as you said, a AA studio.
I mean, they're on the precipice of being a AAA. I mean,
they're AA.
It was huge.
It's huge, but they don't. But the thing is that I think it's just because of PUBG. It's not because they've released a history of awesome games. True. It's just they should be doing so much better. And this is one of those things. Like, why haven't they fixed this? There's a reason all the other games do this, because it makes it feel good. It makes the game feel good. If they turn this feature off on any of these other games, people would freak out because they're like, why does it not feel right? Like the game is broken. But with PUBG, they never bothered to put in the feature that they should have, because they kind of pieced the thing together originally. And it's just, it's bad. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I just don't enjoy playing it. It just doesn't feel right. Like for me, being that I don't play it all the time and I don't memorize all the little quirks like that, there's been times where I'm like, I'm holding down the button. Why is it not firing? I would get so frustrated when I play PUBG, because I'd be doing something. I'd be holding down a button, yet it never fires. But and this explains it. It's probably because it's doing some other animation where I think it should be. I'm holding the button down. Why isn't it, aiming down sight, or why isn't it firing? Because it's got to finish it and you have to keep clicking it. It's just annoying.
Yeah. I tell you what, this is like, what's that subreddit? Things you can't unsee. I feel like with this video, I will never be able to play PUBG again. Not that I was going to play it anyway.
Every time you'll notice, you'd be like, dude, this is so stupid. Just like for me, the movement system, knowing how they use Unreal, I know how they could, and they have improved the movement system over time. But how they released it day one was shameful. the way that the move, and it still feels, if you look at the way that you move in, I mean, just any of the others, Fortnite, Apex, it just feels so seamless, and you're just quickly moving around. And in PUBG, it just feels like it's sluggish,
yeah,
all the time, and it's frustrating for me to play. It shouldn't feel like that.
Agreed.
It's because they don't want to rock the boat too much, I think, and really patch it, because they're worried. I think they're worried that it'll break more things.
Interesting analysis there. The link to the YouTube channel for Taylor that produced that video will be in the show notes on our website. I'd highly recommend you go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that was interesting. They did put out, we discussed it last week, the patch notes for 6.2. They have released that. I did remember mentioning towards the end, just so I said, hey, there's a big download at the end of the show last week. And that, I think, was this 6.2 patch going live. Mm-hmm. So that's all on there. They do have the, the mode that has the team, the deathmatch in there. So you can try that out. They've made some changes to the grenades in this one, the Molotov cocktails, leaning. They made changes to Kraken, which isn't that a map? It's so sure
it is.
Since I've played it.
Yeah.
They made some changes to that that we talked about, the blue zone effect, the blood effects. The skills-based rating test is in there, so you can go onto that on this one. The UI UX improvements, all those changes that we discussed. And then they've also added some new skins, because I mean, what would it be a patch without new skins, right? And then something that's actually interesting is they are discussing the console cross-party play. So if you want to be able to play between Xbox and PlayStation, that they're going to be introducing, they introduced that into this. And you can get into the cross matchmaking pool, but now they're making it even better. So in 6.2, so this patch, they give you the ability for Xbox One and PlayStation 4 players to party up together. So not just that they happen to be placing them in the same matches, but they're actually allowing you to party up and have a friends list between the various consoles. So you don't have to get, a similar thing happened in, Rocket League. I mean, this was something with Rocket League. They came up with a way that you could group up and have a single friends list for PC, Xbox, PlayStation, everything. So
that's pretty cool.
That is something you'll now see in this. So that, I think that'll help, especially with, it'd be interesting to see if this kind of indicates how many console players, you know, if it gives a hint at the percentage, if you have a friends list or see friends lists of people, what's going to be the ratio of PC versus consoles.
I assume there's a lot more people on the PC.
Yeah, I assume there's a lot more people now playing this on console.
Yeah, I would. Oh, really? I would say there's more people on PC.
You think so?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think it makes a good.
Well, I think they have a high amount of their player bases from Asia, which kind of throws that number off because they tend to play on PC.
Gotcha.
So I bet you that's true. All right. The Darwin Project, they released an update, and they released the 1.1.0 patch. And of course, they simultaneously released this across PS4, Xbox, and Steam all at the same time. And on here, they introduced their first Battle Pass event. And they're calling it Game Changers. And so this is something that's going to be going from the 25th of February through April 21st. So you'll be able to get, so you can buy this for, they're calling it, is it ramens? I assume it's ramens, like the soup. It's 950 ramens, and you can get up to 100 rewards in this. They have a bunch of skins and like for hair and like facial effects. They are actually little ramen. You actually have little ramen packages.
Jeez.
Yeah. They'll have weekly challenges. They'll have some competitive mode changes. I mean, I think they're now coming up with, because it's free to play, they're coming up with how they're going to continue paying themselves. that's kind of the danger of free to play. If you put out free to play, but you don't have a way for people to actually get you money, you can't continue development. So
that's a problem.
If you enjoy Darwin Project, check out the season pass.
Yes, like any game, especially free to play games. If you if you like the game and don't, you know, I'm not gonna say throw money at them, but if you don't, you know, if you're not, if you don't take the opportunity to support them, then when the game goes away, you can't. Oh no!
Yeah, why?
What happened? This is incredible. So I'm not saying everybody needs to go out and, you know, buy season pass, but if you play the game, you should.
Yeah.
So.
All right, and then one more game, actually two more games we have to talk about. There's a video for Rust. I don't know if you want to play that really quick. There are some new things that they've added in there, and this is one of the Shadowfrax videos. So.
All right, let's take a look at a video from our good friend Shadowfrax.
Greetings, survivors and friends. Shadowfrax here once again with your weekly boatload of rusty development fish, and today I have news for you on sea levels, poo, and bridges. But first, make sure to hammer the subscribe button and chainsaw the notification bell in half to stay up to date on Rust news and more every week if YouTube decides to send you my videos. As well as plenty of things still going on behind the scenes, this week we've seen a number of changes to map generation and quite a few fixes. Firstly, the default size for maps has been increased from 4,000 to 4,250 to give monuments more space to express themselves properly. Now that we have a ring road system, also small monuments such as the stations, warehouses, and sperm kets will be able to spawn on both the ring road and side roads, leading to large monuments. Although large monuments will be given spawning priority when generating maps, the ring road will also now be removed from any maps under 4K in size. On Wednesday this week, a small client and server update was pushed to address clients freezing and or crashing after joining a server, and this should also have fixed a problem with melee hit detection that many of you were having. Other fixes, currently only on staging, but which you'll be able to enjoy the benefits of after the next monthly patch domain on the 5th of March, include a fix for placement issues with small and medium wooden signs, the cargo ship not sometimes spawning out of bounds and killing all the scientists on board, and finally, something that cave dwellers amongst you can rejoice over, shotgun turrets placed below the waterline will now be able to actually do their job instead of firing blanks. Praise be! Oh, and hide ponchos will now take only 30 seconds to craft instead of 60. This update just keeps getting better. For those of you interested in the cinematic side of things, and that definitely includes me, and if you want proof, just check out my latest cinematic, link on the screen about now, plus down below, plug, 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 there's a whole studio full of convars and cinematic tools working their way down the rusty pipeline towards you. These include player animation settings, such as controlling the speed of animations, being able to print out a list of saved camera positions and names of all players in the current demo, better demo playback, including a HUD for demos, which can be toggled, new admin weather commands for use in demos including wind, fog, rain, cloud cover and cloud rotation, some camera fixes for low lerp values, FOV and camera shake for the debug camera, the ability to turn off the underwater effect, and most exciting of all, at least for me, being able to parent the debug camera to an entity, allowing us to orbit it freely. Okay, I understand a lot of you may have had a whoosh moment with all of that, but trust me, it's a big deal when it comes to creating content. If you're interested in knowing more, then check out the video description where I'll put details of what I have on these new commands. In works in progress, the new update to farming is being cultivated constantly, and from the commits we can tell a few things. Firstly, there's some sort of electrical sensor being worked on for planters, which I'm speculating will be used as an automatic switch for the new sprinkler system. You'll be able to remove dying plants for mulch, which can then be composted for fertilizer, and in an interesting commit from this Wednesday, a typo was fixed that was making horses poo every 10 minutes. Thank Crunchy for that. I wasn't getting anything done. But seriously, this is the first time something like this has been floated, and I've often speculated about the results of mixing rust and poo, apart from rust-coloured poo, which you might want to get checked out. This is happening on a separate branch at the moment, so don't go hanging around a horse's backside waiting for something magical to happen, but it does open up some big questions. Will it just be horses? Can we throw it? Will we be able to throw our own? how many people will accuse the team of copying Ark this week? Please deposit your own questions and observations down below. In vehicle progress, blah, 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 engine, blah, 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 handbrake, something about bumpers, etc., etc. Foliage optimization is still ongoing, as mentioned last week. Not quite sure yet what this will do for us performance-wise, but I'm hoping to get more info on that soon. And an interesting convar popped up in the commits this week that's not usable yet, but when it is, I can imagine all sorts of shenanigans occurring. Convar that lets server admins change the water height. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I mean, I've heard rumblings in the past about dynamic water height, and I don't know what's planned for the actual game. Maybe low and high tides or something else. Either way, you might want to think twice about annoying admins after this goes live. Let me know your thoughts and ideas down below. And lastly, over on Facepunch's Instagram, a tantalizing glimpse of a new monument, possibly. Or maybe just a new element for the road system. A couple of bridges are being created, one concrete and one steel. They're currently only in the grey box stage, so no indication of what they'll look like when completed or when that will be. Perhaps they'll allow for an expansion of the road network so that it can be used on more varied maps. Who knows at this point, but please stay tuned to the channel and I'll tell you all the details when I get them. Join me on Twitch where I stream 3 times a week, link down below, plus support my efforts here on Patreon and stay up to date with my content on Twitter, Facebook, Discord and my Steam group, and I shall catch you all soon. But in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right. Cheerio, Shadowfrax. Thank you much for the update as always.
Hold on, I love that.
Hold on, we gotta show the end of that again. Hold on, hold on. I tell you what,
perfect.
A lot of time goes into making videos like that with all of the animations and
the cuts
when they've got like a price spinning around or something, you think, oh, that's an easy thing to do. It's not. You got to keyframe it for the most part. It takes a little bit to do. So,
yes.
Good video there. Cool to see the new monument, the those bridges. I'm not sure. Those kind of seem like they'd be absolute death traps, but
imagine trying to drive a vehicle across those.
Imagine trying to fly a gyrocopter near a bridge. I mean, that sounds like, imagine trying to steer your gyrocopter under the bridge. That sounds like a good time.
Just for you, Nick, even over the bridge by
imagine sitting in the back of a vehicle playing the guitar with a MIDI controller. Imagine what that would be like. That would be a
driving lot. Around. It'd be like Mad Max. And you need to get the big speakers on there.
You ever seen that episode of Rick and Morty where they're in like the Mad Max style world and they're doing the big rally? That's what I imagine it'd be like, but me with my little banjo.
But didn't he
playing like America or one of those good old soul bands through my MIDI guitar.
All right, so we got one more. I threw it in late. A video. Okay. I don't know if you can play it in the background because it's music, but this is something I know people tease me, but they have released.
What do you mean they? This is not they. This is just a community of people.
A community, yes. But this group has released a Harry Potter world. So it's got the whole school of witchcraft and wizardry, Hogwarts. It's got Privet Drive. It's got all these things. And I know that, I know how much you enjoy Harry Potter. But I thought that this was interesting because this is in Minecraft that they've done this.
Wow. But if you look at the level. I've ever seen a building in Minecraft that's got good. You know, people have done replicas of New York City in Minecraft, right?
Yes.
Washington, D.C., L.A.
But this has quests, puzzles. You can trade. It's an RPG that they've made.
Okay.
So, this kind of shows some of the detail. But I think they did a pretty
cool. Oh, look at
those
bookcases.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, bookcases, you can make those really well in Minecraft.
Boomer thing you've ever shown on the program. you are making it seem that this is the first group to ever do something with Minecraft at all.
But I enjoy Harry Potter and the idea of doing that. I mean, I think they did a really good job of doing it.
Play alone. Like Brian will be playing Harry Potter RP by
with
himself.
Friends or alone. It does have, but this is listed one of the best Minecraft mods currently. So
wait, where's the list for that? Who is the source for that? These people that wrote
PC gamesn.com. So it's PC games, or PC games n.com, whatever that
hold
is.
Hold on a second. PC games n. Oh, okay. This is a reputable site.
Yeah.
Who is the lady that wrote this though? Let's take a look. Carrie Talbot. She's been there since May.
She's bringing fresh perspectives.
Okay,
This person, they made a list of the best Minecraft mods and interface mods and just various. Yeah.
Well, I just scrolled through her Twitter. I'm not gonna take her recommendations with any grain of salt.
It's free to download, so you can donate to it. But
like most Minecraft mods, free.
Yep. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. It's a fun. We'll have to play this sometime. We'll get everybody together and we'll do a little bit of a role playing night.
Okay.
I know you'd love it. I know you would love it.
I mean,
hey, I did take everybody. We went through a Harry Potter Gary's mod.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That one was kind of rough.
Yeah, you think
Joe's ready to role play?
You were yelling at children. You were yelling at children. You are a grown ass man.
We have the most fun playing Gary's mod yelling at children.
Brian, I'm just going to say this for the record. Married man living in his house screaming at children on Gary's mod playing Harry Potter RP. textbook definition of either desperation and or clinical depression, I don't know what is.
Hey, it was fun. I enjoyed it. So
Nick was that child. That's a fact. Yeah, you were the old man yelling.
Nick in, yeah. Yeah. I was yelling at Nick in Gary's mod.
When I was trolling people Brian's age in Gary's mod back in the day, somebody like Brian was yelling at me. Trolling yes. him. Because they would get really pissed off. So yeah, I agree. We should do this sometime. By the way, this lady's from England, so take that for what it's worth as well.
Totally negates all of her opinions.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, free.
All right. So anyways, I think that covers all the games. I thought you would appreciate that. Thank you, PH, for tipping us off to this.
Mr. MIA doesn't post anything until I see this in the Discord like late today. It's like, oh, Brian, check this out. I'm like, fantastic. And I didn't see it in the show notes. And I was like, oh, great. We're going
to
make it through.
I was saving it for the last one because I didn't want you. Yeah. I didn't want you to be prepared for it.
I would have deleted it. I did. I already saw it. I mean, I watched the news channel. All right. Enough of this shenanigans, Brian. I got to steer this ship back into port here. Let's quickly look at some video games and some numbers of people that are playing those video games. Let's start out with H1Z1 as they've kind of leveled out here, currently playing 593, 24-hour peak, 1,819, and the 70 peak, 3,264. So that's kind of leveled out here. I would imagine it's going to stick around there. All right, let's take a look at ARK currently playing, 36,396. The 24-hour peak, 58,448. With a 7-day peak of 74,732. Taking a look at Rust, by the way, those ARK numbers will probably be through the roof next week with the new DLC. Currently playing Rust, 37,566. The 24-hour peak, 56,066. With a 7-day peak of 79,005. Currently playing DayZ, everybody's favorite hardcore survival game, 11,668. The 24-hour peak, 23,635. With a 7-day peak of 28,196. And wrapping it up here for current players, Atlas. Currently playing 2,846. The 24-hour peak, 3,994. With a 7-day peak of 5,509. And that is current players, all of the people that are currently playing all of the video games that are on Steam that I can pull numbers for and have graphics made for. So that's current players.
Nice clarification.
Absolutely. Like, we're the best podcast that is being produced live in Boise, Idaho as we speak.
That's true.
Number one podcast
on survival games.
Absolutely.
Because there could be another one. We don't want
to. Yeah, that's true.
We don't want any competition.
We don't want. I'll say Wilmington. There's only like 200,000 people. I'm pretty I think it's safe to say this is the most. This is the highest best podcast here.
With the most episodes.
Absolutely. Consistent episodes.
Yeah. Never miss. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, let's do a quick tip of the week.
Okay.
And that's where I go through and give either a general gaming tip or one for a specific game. And since we'll be playing some Wildlands or Islands, if you want to be technical, I figured I would do that for tip of the week. All right, so in Islands, one thing that you want to do when you first start out is to craft a spear. And this isn't a crazy survival game as far as it's super difficult, but there is a learning curve as far as learning what you can craft, what materials you need to gather. It does have those survival elements to it. There are a bunch of different types of animals, and some of them are predators, and they will attack you. So if you create the spear, that will really help you when, for instance, a wolf might start chasing you or some random creature may start attacking you. Make sure you have that ready. Eventually, you'll be able to craft swords, crossbows, bows and arrows, things like that. But initially, you'll just want to make sure you get that spear done because it probably will save your life. Later, as you get to the crossbow and the ranged weapons, you'll find that there are particular cases when those are more helpful, especially when you can get a height advantage or something like that in an area. But for close up, when you're being attacked by predators that are meleeing you, you'll definitely want that spear. Also, you want to be careful when you're digging in the world, because as you're going in, and similar as to Minecraft, you're going in and maybe harvesting certain metals and things like that. There are underground caves that you might burrow into. So you need to be very careful when you're doing that, because there are dangerous creatures in some of those caves. You may be digging and then find yourself instantly surrounded by a bunch of dangerous creatures. So that's just a little hint of what might happen in here, but they do have a lot. This game is full of pretty cool things. It has a nice progression system for getting from the equivalent of Stone Age to your driving vehicles that you've crafted. And a lot of this is learning to make your first ship and exploring and getting beyond that initial island that you start on. So it really has that kind of fun sense of adventure, and it is a fun game to play. And so that is tip of the week.
Very cool. We'll be playing Wildlands Friday night in our Discord. By the way, this is made by Bohemia.
Yes.
So this isn't Bohemia some like interactive. Not that other studios aren't good, but you know, Bohemia is a very well-known studio. Before we do anything else, Brian, I want to give you a quick status update on ARK. This is about 30 minutes old. We expect PC and PS4 players to begin downloading Genesis at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, so that's here in like 10 minutes on the East Coast. We are in the process of getting non-Genesis Xbox servers updated and online. Xbox players will keep you posted as to when Genesis has completed publishing. So another abysmal launch by Seamless. Studio Wildcard. Come on, guys. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Seamless. Well, hopefully. I mean, hopefully this will go.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me every single time you release a DLC, shame on me. I mean, seriously, come on.
And for me, I want to start this server before I head to hockey. And
well,
so
that ain't
like,
happening.
Yeah.
Unless your hockey is in the next soon TM 4 to 6 hours from now, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they'll get it together. All right. Yeah. So
keep dreaming.
Let's go ahead and ready to do this game giveaway.
Yes, sir.
So congratulations, Firebomb. Firebomb has won a copy of, I don't remember what the game is.
Castlevania style game.
Yes, but Cathedral is what it's called. Yes. So you've won a copy of Cathedral. I'll send you a message in Discord so you can redeem that and hopefully enjoy it. If people ever win a game and they find it fun, they should report back and let us know, because that's a lot of times when I give away a game, I don't actually keep a copy for myself. So I don't know how the game is.
What a selfless act.
Yeah. So if you find that I gave up on trying to grow my Steam library any bigger. I just didn't see a point.
That's good.
Anymore. So I'll just give them away. All right. Is there anything else we need to cover before we wrap this up?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, of course, my blog, biteoftech.com. Make sure you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. And on the right-hand side, you will notice that there is a join our server on Discord. So if you're going to be playing some ARK with us, or if you're going to be playing Tarkov or Islands here this coming Friday, make sure that you join our Discord server and participate through there. If you want to submit news, maybe there's something, a game that we're not covering and you wish we did, a good place to post that would be in the news channel. And we check that before every single episode of the show when we're building our show notes. Also, we hang out, chat. So a lot of people hanging out and enjoying the conversations. So also, if there's a Steam group, if you want to get a notification before the live show next week, make sure you join the Steam group, and a little pop-up will happen about 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the show. And you can come join us live, participate in the chat, participate in the game giveaway. Also, if you want to support us, you can support us through things like Amazon, through amazon.infectionpodcast.com. You can support us through Humble Bundle, through using humble.infectionpodcast.com. Of course, Twitch Prime subs. People use their Twitch Primes and sub this to us. Many people have done that for over 2 years now and really appreciate that. Also, if you'd like to, perhaps there was a video or something that Dingo, you could boom, hear was that happening, and you didn't have the opportunity to see it, you can go to our show notes and we'll have links to all the different videos and articles that we refer to during the show. And we have that for now 267 episodes of the podcast. So
yes, that was it. And I want to thank our friend Unicorn Joe coming in, Brian, 25 months in a row.
Yeah. He's leading the pack.
I mean, it's pretty incredible, Joe. We really appreciate it more than you could ever imagine. We're actually working on planning out our PAX trip. We were chatting about it this week with the guys. So as we plan that out, having the Twitch Primes and stuff like that rolling in is an incredible weight lifted off of our shoulders. By the way, yep, if you're interested in going to PAX West in 2020, our intention is to be there. We haven't solidified anything yet, but we were looking at doing some other show. We looked at doing Gamescom. But it just seemed a little too pricey for what we're going to gain out of it. So PAX West 2020, that's what we're planning on, Labor Day weekend.
Very good.
Alrighty, Brian, again, Wylands, we'll see you for that Friday night, and we'll see you back here next week for another episode. Thank you very much, as always, Brian, and good luck at your hockey game tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's. What did you say? Could you say congratulations?
No, I said see you later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see you later. Bye. ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another episode. That's the wrong music. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. Of course, you can visit our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a fantastic week. We will see you next time.